What's up, fool? With Felipe Esparza. What's up, everybody? We're here with Rodrigo Torres.
What's happening, folks?
We look like dorks right now in front of our guests. We're wearing vests. I'm wearing a green vest. I look like if I was a white hipster, I look like a hipster guy with a vest and a blue t-shirt. But now I look like a farmer. Rodrigo here wearing a black vest, looking like a Montebello bus driver.
He's looking like
a perverted librarian over here.
Over here making these glasses fog up, man. How you
so what's
doing?
Up, man? We're here, man. Again, man. After Thanksgiving, we had another interview. We got two interviews today.
Hell yeah!
We're trying to get them all locked down before the year ends.
That's what's up.
So, man, so how you been, man?
I've been good,
working
dude.
Hard, killing roaches for Armando.
Dude, not sleeping, dog. No killing sleeping? Roaches and rats, just going back and forth everywhere, dog. You know what I mean? All over L.A. And it's all slippery right now with all the rain and shit, dude. All these car wrecks and shit. Traffic is fucked.
So
up.
We're back here at the Boyle Heights Technology Institute of America. This is right here, man, where cholos, they learn how to make movies, eh? Where one of the best places, man. Like, if you really mess up at your regular school, you could just come back to this school, man, and learn how to be a photographer, man. They got cameras over there, bro. You could start your own little nightcrawler business.
Shit, they had shit here that I didn't even have in high school and college, dude.
I know, man. Right now, man, you could be a bad kid in school and do good.
This fool said nightcrawler, dog.
For real, man. I was walking with our guest, who are going to introduce right now.
Hell yeah.
We're taking a tour of this place. They got cameras, bro. They got computer room upstairs. Back in the days, man, if you were a bad kid, they sent you to, I was too young to go there, to Webb, to Jackson High or Juvenile Hall or the men's club.
And on top of that,
the boys' club.
Shit's all digital now. Before it was VHS tape. You were cutting with scissors and tape, dog.
I know, man. Back in the day, man, people said, you copy and paste, all you needed was a scissor and glues, bro.
And that was really cutting and pasting, dog.
So what's up, Ford? Did you read that Chris Rock article?
Hell yeah, fool.
I mean, about how white people own the industry?
Well, just that's how it is, fool.
I didn't know that Eddie Murphy saw Chris Rock perform at a show and then inviting him to go to Hollywood and do Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Well, yeah, that was a whole little
break. That was like a little break.
You seen him, gave him 5 minutes, that fool said he's destroyed, and then boom, 2 weeks later he's in, you know, doing a little scene in Beverly Hills Cop 2. Seeing the, you know, roll up in a Rolls Royce and all that bullshit. Michael Jackson calling, fucking Bruckheimer.
Katzenberg.
Calling. Yeah, dog. And that fool not even returning calls, dude. Eddie Murphy was on top of the world, fool.
But then he gave him a little spot, huh?
Hell yeah, fool.
I think everybody needs a little break, huh?
That's what's up, fool. I think, and on top of that, it's not like just everybody, dick. Somebody sees a little something in you, dog. This fool can write a little one-liner, so this fool's funny, this fool can do a voice. Dick, this fool could be an asset in the future.
Like me, I always deal with get Paul Rodriguez a Viagra, bro, in El Paso.
Thank you very much, everyone. I barely got off of her.
My dick was hard like the times in the South, eh? Nah, man. No, but that was true. Like, Paul Rodriguez saw me one time, and he said, man, he goes, I don't know, it was like two guys looking at each other, hey man, we look kind of alike, and he was thinking, man, did I fuck his mom at the hop or something?
Well, that's part of the Chris Rock thing too. There's like, you know, as a white dude, pretty much everybody's gonna give this fool a chance, but a black guy, fuck, I think I'm the only guy that can give him a chance.
I know, man. It's like you need somebody to say, you know what, I'm gonna give this fool a break.
To vouch for you.
And those breaks usually come from somebody from your own skin color, huh?
Yeah, fool. You know, somebody sees this fool's capable of enduring the shit that I went through, too.
But it's tough when you're like, that's good when you're an actor. When you're a comedian, it's tougher, man, because when you're a Mexican comedian, man, you think there's only room for one.
And at the bottom of the totem pole, dog.
So what's up, fool? We have a guest here, man. This guy has been on everything, man. And he's been on crack. He's been on Santa Barbara, bro. Let me tell you how I met this guy, man. I started doing stand-up comedy like in 96, you know, 94 was the first time I went up on stage. Uh-huh. Bombed. Then I got scared. But then I decided to go strong in 96. And I was breaking up with my chick at the time, you know, because, man, she wasn't living my dream, bro.
New horizon,
bro, you know, man. You know, you start getting funny, man. You start realizing, hey, man, I have a chance with other than fat chicks. No, but I have a chance now. So I started doing stand-up comedy. I met these some Latino comedians. Then I kept hearing this other comedian, right? Like, you hear words, oh, man, this guy's kind of like an Emilio, you know, like Emilio style. Or have you heard of Emilio Rivera? And I said, no, I heard the name. You know, I lied.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I heard the name, but Carlos Oscar was the first one to mention his name because they were all hanging out and shit. And they were talking about, oh, when I was a kid, I stole a bicycle. Or Jeff Garcia said, oh, when I was a kid, I broke the neighbor's window. And then Carlos Oscar said that, Emilio Rivera said that, this fool came out of nowhere. Yeah, man, I was stabbing this guy, bro. He didn't want to die. I flipped him over. He still didn't want to die. And I was like, damn, bro, that's his comedy? No, bro, I think he was serious. And I said, no, fuck it. I gotta meet this guy, bro.
This fool's for real, though.
So our guest has been on Sons of Anarchy. He's a star of Sons of Anarchy. He's the only reason Mexicans watch Sons of Anarchy. I mean, man, it's like when Bruce Lee was in that show with Kato and
the Green Hornet.
But in China, it was Kato and the Green Hornet.
Yeah, he was a star.
Because he was a star. So when I watch Sons of Anarchy, I only think of Alvarez, bro, Marcus Alvarez, the guy who killed his son at Echo Park.
Don't fuck around.
Yeah, man. So, Emilio Rivera, what's up, fool?
What's up, doing, Felipe? Good to see you.
He's a stand-up comedian, by the way.
Likewise, brother.
Thanks, man. You know, we did a lot. We shared the stage a lot together, Felipe, over the years, man. And it's been, you're one of the best guys out there, homeboy. You make me laugh. You have his own style. That's what I like about Felipe. You can't copy him. And if you do, you're going to know you're copying Felipe. It's part of it, you know what I mean?
Tell him, bro.
I know, brother. You know what I'm saying? Because what's happening with Felipe, he does comedy. You know, everybody has a set, you know, and it's pretty much not how you go. But Felipe forgets what he's going to say, and he goes somewhere else, and it makes it more funny. You dig what I'm saying?
You're right, bro. I wrote a set then. I wrote all my jokes down on a napkin, and then I forget to say them.
Yeah, and it's also,
I've seen you do that. That's why I'm saying that, you know?
You don't do the same act twice.
Exactly.
It's the same, but it just comes out different, dude. You know, exactly. How you're feeling at the moment, dude.
Bro, and I remember your comedy, man, when I first saw you, it was like one of those, it was like, bam. You told me one time, I asked you, how long did it take to write your stand-up? You said it took you 8 hours of writing it down.
Because what happened, paper. They told me I was doing skit comedy at the time, and they said, hey, they're doing this Latino night at Laugh Factory. You think you could write a bit? I said, yeah, you know, and so I wrote a bit, and I still with that bit for 20 years.
Oh, man, I love your shit.
It hasn't changed, bro. I just had a couple of tags here and there. But that's what I did, you know. That's exactly what I did.
I still know some of your material, man, like when you did Que Locos,
yeah. You know, I just put that up the other day on Facebook. People had a blast because a lot of people that know me as an actor don't even know I did comedy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That one headshot joke that you do?
I still do it.
No, I love that joke. You do that. You would do that joke about. My homeboy and I, we got arrested, man, and we were in there arrested, man. And then I see my friend, you know, having sex with somebody, and I'm thinking, damn, bro, we're only here for warrants.
We're only here for the weekend.
We're only here for the weekend, bro. And your friend looks over, you go, come on, man, hard times.
Exactly. You guys are good. I like when people remember my jokes.
Oh, that's hell cool, yeah. And you're breaking down the woman's anatomy with the man in the little boat.
You remember that?
How did that go, bro?
You know, the clip.
That was the man in the little boat.
You gotta work abroad.
That's how you work is stick a mango up your ass, right? But check it out.
I never heard that joke.
Oh, no. Yeah, what happened was, what the thing is, they would tell me, Emilio, you gotta keep it clean. And even my clean was dirty. You dig what I'm saying? But it used to be real dirty. But when you work out the club, and I, like when I used to work with Carlos Mancilla, yeah. I used to love that because I know I can do whatever I wanted to do because he was crazy. You know what I'm talking about? And I had that dirty set. But you know what? I got a little bit too personal with a female anatomy, and they didn't dig it too much. But it was funny shit, dog.
Hell,
you know?
Yeah,
it was a hit and miss. You know what I mean?
Well, so I remember like what time you had to do a show. And I remember that you had to be clean, bro. And you said that, man, I only could do clean for like 8 minutes. You know, the rest of the seven is really bad. He goes, Gabriel Iglesias and I did the show with him, man. He picked it up in his car, and Gabriel was sitting in the back seat. And it is funny, man. Like, I don't know, you paid us? You paid me money, right? You paid me, what, $75? And I remember that you gave Gabriel money, right? Because, he goes, hey, home, this is for you, man. You got to get something out of this show, right? And you gave him, like, $35, right? And that motherfucker had owed me money, bro. And that's the reason I took him to the show, man.
That's funny. So look at Gabriel, bro.
Yeah, so as soon as you gave him those $30, I put my hand back like this, and I intercepted it. As soon as you handed it to him, I looked back at him, and he gave it back to me, man. That fool owed me money.
Hey, that's funny, because people ask me, you know, do you know Fluffy? Gabriel Iglesias? I could say, he worked for me, homie.
Yeah. He did work for you. Yeah, it was a nice show. It was in Orange County.
Yeah, and this is what it is. That these guys, they can go all the way. They can get dirty with it, but they keep it clean because they do a lot of
churches.
No. Speaking about churches, check this out, bro. So I've been doing comedy for 10 years now, acting and stuff. So St. Anne's, the church in my neighborhood, you know, you did.
Yeah.
They invited me to go do some comedy, right? And now, so I said, okay, I'm in a church. I got to keep it clean. I was keeping it clean as I can get it, right, dog? I was doing really good for about 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, I have a joke where I talk about I masturbate, you know, to save me from HIV. All I said was masturbate. That's all I said, right? The nuns, the fathers, they're screaming at me, get off the stage. And bro, they lost it. And I felt so embarrassed. I'm over here doing you a bottle. I mean, a favor.
A bottle, hell yeah.
And now you're kicking me off the stage. It was embarrassing, bro. You know what I mean? All I did, I said, you know what, you want to see the rest of the show? Come and see me at the Laugh Factory on Monday night.
Yeah, man.
I had to go out with some dignity, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Didn't let you finish, bro. I was masturbating on a kid. Right, a father?
Hell yeah, dude.
So, man. When you got into comedy, did you get into comedy because of comedy, or you want to be a stand up or an actor? Or
no, I just did the comedy because I just for exposure, bro. At the time, you know, and then they would tell you to go to these showcases, and I would, and then I stopped doing showcases. I still did comedy, but I wouldn't do showcases because what happened with showcases, bro? Let me tell you what happens with showcases. They go in there, you got all these networks that come and see your showcases, and all of a sudden. You don't get picked up for shit, but you know what? They're doing all your material on TV. They're doing all your ideas, bro. So I said, I'm not doing no more showcases. You know what I mean? And I would still do the comedy for 10 years, bro. And I do like maybe 2 shows a year now. But no, I don't do no more showcases. Because that's what they would do. I would see, because I know everybody's coming set. And then I'd be watching, I don't want to say what TV show,
right.
But a lot of TV shows. I love comedy on TV. And they would just go, wait a minute. That's
straight biting joke. Your ideas.
Yeah. You know who said that the other last year on a tweet? Sarah Silver. The comedian, she said that just because this guy did the joke in the 80s and he he's working a role doesn't mean you can't put his material on a show.
Exactly, and like, a lot of it's just revamped, bro.
Recycled.
You know what I mean? You know, just different ways. You know, and but you know, if people say the same joke, everybody's gonna have a different delivery and a different setup. So, I mean, I'm not into stealing jokes. I've never been. And people have, when they use my jokes, they would actually call me, hey, bro, I'm doing a country club, a golf club. Can I use your golf joke? And I said, go ahead, bro. You know, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? But just don't steal the whole fucking set, bro. I've seen that too, though. I remember somebody was doing my joke, and I was sitting front row, and then I go,
the wrong guy to be stealing from.
No, it was a woman, you know what I mean? And she did it her own way. And
a woman did your joke?
Yeah, bro.
Clever joke.
And it was
8x10.
So now, you know, so I just looked at her and I said, okay, where are you going from here, you know?
Nowhere.
But you could see she was going to say it. She got stuck in it, and she's saying it, and she's looking at me like this, you know, and she said it, and, you know, okay. And then I hit my old lady, and I said, she don't do like I do, you know, so fuck it, you know.
That's right.
Fucking joke thief. Damn. That's crazy, man. So, because I know that I saw some of your flyers from Armando Cosillo's papers. Armando, we were on the show. You used to put up big shows at the Roxy before the Laugh Factory, right?
Yeah, brother. Yeah, I used to do my Lego Latino nights. It was called Latino Nights. It was a talent show. It's pretty much like the Gong Show, you know what I'm saying? And I'd have celebrity guests who'd come and judge you from 1 to 10, and the 30 being the best. And I would just bring all the local talent. Then it started getting bigger and bigger. It was a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun doing it. You know, Rudy Moreno used to come and MC, help me MC. So we were like the Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis kind of thing. It was really cool, man. You know, I was a straight guy and he was a funny guy. You know, it was fun, man.
How did you think about being a comedian actor? You know, like you grew up in Elysian Valley.
Uh-huh. No, I want to do it. You know, when I was, I stutter. I still stutter right
me
now.
Me too. When I was a kid, man, I used to stutter so bad.
I was like,
I was like that too.
And he was say, cabrón.
Yeah, I was telling that to my, when I was a kid, like, my father, like, I would, like, talk back. I would do it on another show, especially when I'm on stage. I start getting nervous for some reason, or the show's over, or. it's time to go. But then I stutter a word, then I, and it comes out, and I tell you, yeah, people, you guys don't know this, man, but doing stand-up comedy for me is a progress shit. I tell a fucking stuttering problem, man. Yeah. And when you're a fucking poor man, there's no fucking therapist. There's a fucking belt.
That's
and if you
is,
don't fucking
brother.
Get the sentence out, it's going to be an ass beating. Hablas bien, cabrón, te mato, pinche matrayora. My dad will come in machine gun, okay?
My dad would say, spit it out. Spit it out. And I'd be... And I would be scared because, you know, I was at a time limit or something. And then he would just walk away and I'd be stuck there without, you know, still stuck without saying a damn thing.
People don't know, man. I used to speak in Morse code.
That's good. I like that.
That's really communicator.
Cool. Yeah, man. This means save our ship.
And you never really, and you take never really work on your, you know, because you were raised in the neighborhood and you're. And your vocabulary is just like, what's up, Holmes? You know,
what's up, fool?
Where are you from, Holmes? That's all, you know. So you don't really work on your vocabulary. And I remember when I got clean and sober 24 years ago, I still stuttered, but I did a lot of PCP, I did a lot of drugs, you know. And so that kind of didn't help nothing, you know what I mean? And then so when I got clean and sober, I needed to do something because I know I'm an addict. And I said, let me give this stuff a shot, you know, because. Because, see, when I was in third grade, Carnot, I got cast as Rumpelstiltskin, the lead, right? I don't know how I got cast, but I got cast, right? And I didn't stutter not one time because I knew what the fuck I was going to say, you know? So I went home. I go, Dad, I want to be an actor. He goes, because I knew it. I'm still stuttering. I'm talking to him. But on stage, I never felt good not to stutter. And he says, that's for rich white kids, you know what I'm saying? So I got sidetracked, bro. So I remember when I got clean. I said, let me go back to that, and I gave it a shot, and it worked out. You know, it worked out for me, bro, because those guys, those actors trying to play guys like me, and they sucked at it. You know what I'm talking about?
I know, you're talking about 21 Jump Street. Who wears a pink bandana, man?
You got to get it right, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And hell
so,
yeah.
And I ran with it. Exactly, brother. And now it's even better now because now Hollywood, they like to hire, and I'm not saying the real people that do it, but they want authentic shit. You dig what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
Because we can read right through that shit, bro. You know.
How did you get your first break, man? Like, who said, hey, man, I'm going to give the little homie a chance?
I know. I just did the work. I did a lot of theater, bro. I was doing comedy, and I did my first TV show with Lorenzo Lamas called Renegade.
Renegade. I remember that show.
Back in the day in 1992. And that was like my... And then you know
you
what?
You auditioned for the show?
I had to audition. And you know, it was a trip, bro, because my first gig was a big gig. You know, it was a good, nice-sized role, and I had a big old trailer, and it was really cool. And I'm thinking, I could live with this, right? But that's not the way it is all the time. You dig what I'm saying? And, you know, but I've had, you know, but in 4 years...
Then you do El Matador now.
We did that.
No trailer, man.
That movie was malicious.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we had fun on that, though, right? That's when you call the homie. It's a homie project. You know, it was
a homie project.
Yeah, Joey, man.
You know, it's funny because Joey Medino called up. he goes, hey, bro.
Hey, papi.
Hey, listen, man. We're going to do this movie, and I got so-and-so. I go, you got them? And I go, yeah. I go, well, fuck, it got to be a good movie. Right? But then he's probably telling them that they got me. So I go, send me the script. I read the script. It was funny, you know. And then he had Gabriel. He had you. Yeah, he had a lot of people up in there. And I go, yeah, let's do this, bro. And then I didn't know we had a dress and drag, though. You know, I didn't read that part of the script. And we all did, though. And it was pretty fucking funny, you know what I mean?
Oh, I was out of town for that part.
Huh?
There was a drag scene at the end, huh?
Yeah, we were all, even Gabriel was in drag.
Yeah, I remember that part. It's funny, man, how they got you on the movie, man. Yeah, I got so-and-so, I got Paul Rodriguez, I got Felipe, I got this and that. And then there was a part where they needed a scene.
You're in the movie with
yeah, them. I'm one of the homies, yeah, me, yeah, you, and yeah, Benny
yeah,
Mena.
Yeah, and we're running down the street.
Yeah, and we're in your car.
It's the feline, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I remember we're in your car. It's a fucking badass car, right? And I remember asking you, man, how many fat chicks you got in this car, bro? And he goes, hey, fuck you. I don't have no fucking fat chicks in this car, right?
Straight up, bro.
But it was funny, man. That was like my first break. It was my first break for everybody. But everybody broke even.
I don't think so, homie. Not me, homie.
Gabriel's trying to distribute. I think Joey Medina, he's going to be a guest on the show. in the future. I think he's trying to, now that Gabriel's big and everybody's blown up, he's trying to bring back that movie, you know, distribute it back again.
Where it all began.
Smart business, though, you know.
But it's funny, man. When we're working on that movie, it's funny how we switch from, you know, he has a badass fucking trailer, Renegade. Now we're here talking about this fucking movie with Joey Medina.
On the sidewalk.
So I remember how do you feel to be on drag? Because first of all, we have Mariano Mendoza, Mendoza, yeah, right? Yeah. The boxer.
I like him, bro.
And then he was my stand-in. But I when I got there too, bro, there was a scene where, what? I gotta play the mom? Because I don't know, for Target, right? I was playing all the kids, and the father. And then I said, wait, I got to play the mom? But I didn't care, you know. Yeah, it's Target commercial. But it's already, I got to play the... But everything started going through my head. Fuck, eh? I'm going to fucking be like a chick looking like Celia Cruz right here, you know. But I did it. But then when I'm talking to Mariano, he goes, like, fuck, eh? He goes, I don't know, man. I don't know. I didn't expect to be wearing this wig, you know? And I told Mariano, at least you got to wear the wig, but I had to wear the whole dress.
Yeah. Did you shave the beard, though?
No, man. I played a chick with a wig. A wig and a beard.
Right on. Okay. I've been watching that show, The Freak Show. Have you been watching that American Horror Story? You got to watch it every Wednesday night, bro. And I see Kathy Bates. She's a bearded lady on The Freak Show. But it looks kind of good on her. You know what I'm talking about?
She's like a tough around. Guy.
Yeah, yeah.
How'd you feel, man, when that fool said you're going to fuck you? We're all drags now, eh?
You know, I was kind of uncomfortable with it. You know, I was like, you know, but, you know, it was a nice gown. You know what I'm talking about?
Because I remember you said that before, hey, man. Nice he goes, because you're known for a certain type of character,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And you were thinking about it because...
No, they wanted me to shave my mustache. I didn't shave my mustache, bro.
Oh, you fuck
that. That's negotiable, and they didn't have the money to do that. So I knew I was.
Oh, you got paid?
Charlie, that's...
Oh, shit, I was like... I'm like, how can you negotiate free?
No, that's what I'm saying. I go, no, you know, but still, you can't pay when that's not coming out, bro. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I remember I did the movie and we went apart with Vin Diesel, and they paid me to shave off my eyebrows. I would never do that again, brother. You know what I'm talking about? It took like 6 weeks to grow back. I mean, it looked funky.
Yeah, you look crazy. You know, I had to do
a premiere, and I had no eyebrows until a red carpet. So I tried to paint a model like a drag queen, bro. Like,
you got a Sharpie and shit?
Yeah, fuck that. I just put on some big old glasses, bro. I look like a freak, homie. You know what I mean?
Dude, when Joey Medina was shooting, what's the name of the movie? Oh, Matador. Right? And this is how crazy how they lie. They said, oh, yeah, but we got such and such. We needed a scene for the restaurant. And I said, and I told Joey Medina, fool, I know somebody at the restaurant. And I called him Noe Gonzalez, the comedian.
What's up, bro?
He goes, hey, man, what's up, man? You want to be in the movie? Yeah. Okay, man, we're going to fucking shoot in your restaurant tomorrow around 5. Have everybody out of there. So everybody showed up.
That's how it went?
Oh, so that's how it got. I was location manager. So... So, man, you did. That's crazy, man. I forgot that movie went. It's funny, like, that was like when you were doing that movie, man. There was a scene where I guess the guy he smashes us and beats us up and throws us against his alley.
Yeah, the alley. Yeah, exactly.
And I remember watching Emilio practice falling, bro. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this fool doing, eh? But I didn't know that he wanted to get that shit right.
Yeah, because you do it right. You don't do it full speed, but you know, that's how you don't get hurt, too, as well, bro.
He was teaching us. He gave me an acting lesson right there, bro.
Map it all out?
Yeah, because, you know, over the years, I work with some of the best stunt people in the business, and they taught me, you know, and it's good to stretch out, do all that stuff. Otherwise, you're going to get hurt, and then, you got to go work the next day somewhere else, bro. You know what I mean? So, and I know... Like, I play baseball, still softball, and I don't slide no more because I lost a commercial because I was supposed to go to a callback, and they already wanted me. They wanted to avail, and I sent to second base, and I broke my ankle, and they didn't hire me because I had a broke...
Thought you were Pedro Guerrero.
You know what I'm saying? So I never slide. I don't slide no more, man, you know? The hell with that. You lose a job? Fuck that.
Crazy, man. So remember, you still have that car?
Yeah, 48 Fleet Line, yeah.
48 Fleet Line.
I've had it for 29 years now, brother. You know, just got to redo the car again. I'm just into the Harley Davidsons right now. I love my bikes, you know what I mean? So I'm more into that right now.
I remember I would always see you around the neighborhood, man, and I remember this one time, man, the mailman came up to you, man, complaining about me.
It was you guys.
We talked about this. Dude, it was crazy.
No, we talked about Montero.
We always talk about it. Because it was raining, bro. It was fucking raining. Right? I would always tell the story of, dude, goes, you know Emilio? Yeah, bro. He lives on fucking Madeleine, I think. And I live on Denby.
Yeah, right
there. We cross each other. He has a nice pad. He goes, but dude, check it out. Dude, one time it was fucking pouring rain, dog. And I was driving stone. I'm on Montero. With Rodrigo
and
Emilio jumps out of, he sees me and he goes, "Hey, Holmes!" And he jumps out and I tell people, man, you know when he came out of his car, it stopped raining where he was walking. Like he's like the godfather of the neighborhood or something.
He got all serious.
And there was no rain where he was walking. There was sunlight on him. Then he walks up to him, "Hey, bro, what the fuck? You scaring the mailman?" And I said, "Punking his ass for your check." And I said, "Bro, it wasn't me.
It was Willie.
It was Willie, bro. Willie Barcena. Willie Barcena was threatening him, bro.
Hey, bro, we were leaving, and he was halfway to
my neighborhood." And I said, and then Willie goes, "You should ask the mailman for your check. He's not going to give you my check. What's in the fucking projects?" You know,
I remember because you know David's mailman. We used to, you know, he'd been my mailman for a lot of years, homie. You know, and he'd always come back. And, you know, I'll pour him a little drink. You know, I don't drink, but he always had a drink for somebody, whoever did. And I took care of him. You know, every Christmas I give him a little gift and shit. So then he goes, "Hey, bro, I know, I don't want no problems, you know, but I know you know those guys down there. That's gonna have to hit you because he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's still there, Carnal. You know what I mean? He's still there." Yes, I had to say something. Otherwise, I wouldn't be a good friend. You know what I mean?
What'd he say?
He goes, "Oh, they're threatening me to give him the check." You know? He goes, "I can't give him no check if he's not there."
"Give my laugh back, you check, man. I want those $25. Yeah, so I was waiting for a check. I don't know if it was one of those Pat Wilson hell gigs, but it was one of those gigs. And then I asked him, I don't know, I asked him, but then Willie was like, "Hey, bro, you could do it, bro. Just look in there, bro. Come on, Felipe. Show him your ID, bro." So I took my ID out, but he's looking.
I can hear Willie right now, too.
Yeah,
"Hey,
but
bro, print the but check,
he has,
bro.
He has no tag. He doesn't know how to talk to people. I'm pretty sure if I would have asked him myself, he would have gave it to me. But this, come on, bro, you could do it, dog."
Started doing karate on him.
Yeah, man, so that was crazy.
That's funny, man.
So I tell people that, yeah, man.
And it was cool because, you know, because Gabriel used to always pick you up, man. You know what I mean? First he came in that little Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Gabriel being that little Volkswagen. And then later on he upgraded to the Humvee, the Hummer.
The Hummer, yeah.
The orange one. That was nice, man. Good times, bro.
I remember Gabriel said that orange Hummer got the one with the stereos and all that. It got stolen at
Hometown Buffet in Montebello.
Is that right?
Like they were coming out of the Hometown Buffet and the Hummer was gone.
Is that
and
right?
He just sat there. I think when you get your car stolen, you just can't believe it. You just stay there dumbfounded. Like,
you think you parked it somewhere else. It's no, for reals. I've done that. You know, especially when you're hungover, it's even worse, bro. You know what I'm talking about? I've got mine stolen at the Santa Monica Beach, you know, about 30 years ago, my truck. And when you go out there and you're still dingy from the night before, and you're going to go home now, and then maybe I didn't park it here, you know, and then you start looking around, maybe I parked it over there, and then. You don't want to believe that you're stolen. You know what I'm saying? I go, who's going to steal for fucking me, right? He's starting getting that ego trip. You know what I'm saying? And and it was stolen, brother. You know,
gone.
So man, you went through a lot of crazy times out before being an actor.
Yeah, you know, I look at it now, brother. And I was a knucklehead, bro. I love fighting. I love fucking seeing what fuck up my life today.
The whole desmadre of it?
I loved it all. It was just a adrenaline rush, you know, if I was going to live the day or not. You know, it was I didn't give a fuck about nobody. I mean, I didn't give a fuck about myself. How am I going to give a fuck about you? You know what I'm saying? I was that kind of mentality, bro, and I was a fool. I look at it now, bro, and I created so much fucked up shit for no reason, bro. You know, what a waste of time, you know?
Yeah, like I tell like my fiance, I said, I'm going to go to a bathroom, man. If you look at anybody, I'll fucking kill you. But I'm just joking, you know, I'm just joking, like Goodfellas. And then I always do it right, like Goodfellas. You fucking look at anybody, I'll fucking kill you.
Damn.
And then in Goodfellas, that girl tells some other girls, he's so crazy, if I even look at somebody, he'll kill them.
Yeah.
But then I remember you telling me one time that you used to punch waiters, bro.
I was possessive. I was very possessive. And I guess it's more insecure, you know. And, you know, for stupid shit. And I used to, you couldn't, I had that 2-second rule in effect. If you looked at my old lady at the time, like, if you just looked like that, you know, I'd drop you wherever you're at. I mean, I never even made it to the restaurant and, you know, go sit down because, you know, I was like that. But I mean, I was always a fighter.
The hostess.
I always trained. It was like, My training was my fights.
And that was like your nickname, right? Lefty?
Lefty,
big left.
Yeah.
You had a reputation of just knocking fools out in one punch.
I was good at it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I was really good at it. You know, and then it always like a challenge. And so it was always like when I say I fought every day, I fought every day. Because there's always somebody to fight. Or somebody, you know, that had attitude. I didn't like attitudes. Like, I'm the one with attitude, motherfucker. I was an ass. I mean, I was a nice guy if you were my friend, but if you didn't know me, I was not a good guy. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was always testing myself, testing people, and it was really stupid, bro. Now I'm older now. My hands hurt, you know, because when it gets cold, because I fought so much, and I was always training. And then another 14 years, I was a mechanic, so... Inside of my hands and my outside of my hands are bad.
Well, your hands hurt too, man, but if I'm holding a microphone and jerking off.
Yeah, but you know, what a waste of time, you know.
Because you used to get it, because I read in a, I don't know if it was an article or you said, you told someone that you used to work right there at that Dolly Madison.
For 14 and a half
years. For 14 and a half years, and you used to walk, right?
Yeah, but...
So you used to be... Your people that didn't like you used to know that you worked or to wait for you, huh?
I used to get shot at a few times.
How can you get shot on the way to work, man?
No, because I used to get... See, I worked 14 years in night shift. So
that was a joke you had. You said, yeah, man, so I want to get this... I do this and this, but then a gangbang on the side. No, I remember your joke. You said that. Yeah, man. Gangsta. You know, I'm a waiter, but also gangbang on the side.
Yeah, waiters. What do you pay? Gang members, waiters.
Yeah.
Waiters who gangbang on the side.
Yeah.
That's just true.
So you used to gangbang on the side, and then that job, that was hectic, huh?
No, because, one of my friends from the work died the other day, and we were there talking about, you know, there was five mechanics, we're all mechanics here. And you know what? It was terrible, man, because, I mean, like I said, I was kind of like an asshole. I worked there in my neighborhood, but they couldn't fire me because Dolly Madison was in my neighborhood. You dig what I'm saying? So you fired me. They were scared of retaliation. So I did pretty much anything I wanted to do, so they wouldn't fire me because they were scared I might do something. You know what I mean? It was kind of fucked up, man. But it was good for me because I stayed employed for 14 and a half years, and it was a good gig, you know. But it was man, what a fucking... I was never a bully. Don't get me wrong. I hate bullies. I used to beat up the bullies. You know what I'm talking about? So that was my thing. Because I remember in school, this is a trip, bro. I went to my 20 years high school reunion, fucking 10 years ago.
Marshall,
right? So these three cats during the night, they came up to me, one big dude, and then you could tell who they are because they had the name tags. I don't remember him, you know, but he goes, hey bro, because I remember in school I would only beat up the homies, you know what I mean, different neighborhoods, but the nerds, I don't say not nerds, but I mean the studios guys, yeah. You know, I would protect them, so if somebody was fucking with them, I'd fuck up that person for fucking them up. And they came out to me, bro, this is my highlight of my fucking 20 year reunion. He goes, they hugged me and they said, Emilio, being your friend in school made school easy for me to go to, because they were like nerds, you know what I'm saying? And he goes, because I was your friend, nobody beat me up, you know what I mean? So, and I remember one time, one guy, he was a teacher's pet, and I was failing everything, but I would go to school to fight. That was my thing, bro. You know, I did 10th grade 3 fucking times, you know? I was 18 years old going to 10th grade. You know, for real. I got busted. Then it was either a good joke or the army. What happened, bro, is I remember I was filling this auto shop, and he was a teacher's pet.
Well, how do you fucking fill auto shopping?
That's what I'm saying, because I would just go once in a while.
Hit somebody with a tool?
And, you know, he gave me a C, and I saw him, and I go, I don't forget those things, man. And about 2 days later... Check it out. So 2 days later, they're jacking him for his money. Three cholo guys, you know. And I fucked them all up in front of him, bro. You know what I'm talking about? And then nobody ever fucked with him again. And this guy was a big dude, though, but he was just like, you know. And they came up to me those two different times the whole night to hug me and say, you know, you made high school easy for me. And that was nice, you know what I'm talking about? Because I never fucked with the studious people.
Yeah.
I don't want to call them nerds. You know, that's not cool. You know, but they were studious.
He's all studious.
I just fuck with guys like me. You know.
There was a lot of those guys then, huh?
You know, back then there was a lot of us, bro. You know.
And that's one thing about you, Emilio. Like, even like I noticed it when I first started hanging out with Felipe back in the day, is that you embody a respect that a lot of people would like, and a lot of people try to emulate. But yours is just like super authentic.
It's
and
genuine. Original. That's why.
Like, from even going back to like, you know, Mondo's house and everything, go back to the neighborhood. Everybody always takes, oh, hang on real quick, it's Emilio, and goes and gives you the handshake.
Yeah.
That's why I'm with you, bro.
Yeah.
And I don't do it. I mean, I just do it because that's how I was raised, you know. But I don't expect you to do it. But if you do it, that's nice. You know what I'm talking about. So it's just respecting, bro. You know, it's, I'm about respect, big time. You know, big time.
Yeah, like some of the actors on your show, I see them and I say, "Oh, this fool, man! I saw this punk ass fool outside Silver Lake Red Lion a long time ago, man. Now he's a big shot and shit of the Sons of Anarchy." And I'm talking about the guy with the gray hair and the bushy beard.
A great guy. Yeah. That's Booney, man. Great.
Yeah,
guy.
He's been acting forever, bro. I saw him in a documentary from the late 70s, I think, during they were showing like the artsy fartsy of New York and punk music back in the day. That he started with Steven Buscemi.
They're real good buddies. The 80s, bro.
We had another guy in the show here named Fred Stoller who knew Buscemi when he was doing stand up.
Well, I knew Buscemi. I worked with Buscemi for 4 months on Con Air, you know, and that guy was one of the nicest guys, bro. And he could dance his ass off, bro. I mean, he could dance like a badass, bro. Yeah, hell yeah, good times.
Like for real?
Like really get down, bro, you know?
So, man, when you now, do you still have to audition or do people just know? Just give me Emilio.
Half and half, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, they say, you know what, just give me an Emilio type.
I get that one, just hire me instead. You know what I'm talking
about? That's why, like, I think they said that in Hollywood, like, that's your career, like, first, when you get famous, I think like, oh man, we need somebody like Rodrigo, and then finally we got him and shit. Okay, then he's too expensive. We need someone who looks like Rodrigo.
Yeah.
Then later on, his career is over. We need a young Rodrigo.
Exactly.
He created a character.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's good. You know, it's like half and half though. Like some people want it, especially more so when it have to do. Opposite my type. Like now I'm on another show now. We start filming it, I think in January. It's called Hand of God with Ron Perlman from Sons of Anarchy. But he plays a judge and I play a cop on it now. So I had to audition that because now it's a whole different guy for me. You know what I mean? And it worked out, so I got the gig. So we'll see what happens, you know?
Hell yeah.
So what happened, man? Remember, you started a Subway diet, man, before that guy, remember?
It worked, bro.
Remember?
You know, I had to do a movie where I had to be butt naked, right? And butt naked. And so I said, okay, out of respect, you know, let it be the last shot so I can have some time to lose the fucking weight, right? I don't want I'm running down the street and fucking my ass shaking and shit. So fucking, it worked. You know what, bro? I lost, I did a Subway diet and I had like 6 weeks to do it. And plus I was fucking, you know, taking laxatives and all that bullshit. Or I lost 28 pounds, bro. You know what I'm saying? And my ass looked good in the fucking screen that day. But you know, but the Subway, you know what? I kept off the weight for like 3 years, bro. I mean,
my daughter
worked there too, so it was cool at the time. So
you know, I would run into you out there in Silver Lake by Ralph's, and then you would tell me about the Subway diet over and over, like, yeah. It works. And then I saw you another time. He goes, "What happened, bro?" He goes, "I almost killed somebody today. What are you on?" He goes, "I'm on a fucking Atkins diet."
Because yeah. you get shit. You know what I'm talking about?
You couldn't eat meat. You can't eat no bread. You go, "I'm about to lose my mind."
Because you guys turned me on to that one. Yeah. Talking about that, in a, you know, because you know, you gotta have some bread, brother.
Yeah, there's no carbs, no sugar, it throws your ass off.
Yeah, so you want to just I don't want to hear it, you know what I mean? It's like, kind of like, it puts you in a bad mood, you know, like antsy, you know.
I don't know what time I was talking to you about, I don't know, relationships. We were shooting that movie, and then, like, you broke it down. I don't know if you broke it down, but you told me this crazy story, and I said, well, I've never been that in love, eh? You said that you were trying to kill yourself because your chick didn't want you back, and you threw yourself in the river.
Was that Mondo's house in the backyard?
Mondo's house. Actually down Middleville, one block over.
Yeah.
And I was 17 years old. What a fool, right? What a fool I was. And you know what's funny, bro?
The river was big. This is the LA River.
When it was raining, right?
But it was raining for 28 days. It was to the top, right? So I'm taking this out. You know, this fucker's stupid. It's more I wanted attention from her, right, dog? Fuck, you know, you're that fucking first love shit. Fuck that.
It was first love serious,
so,
man.
Check it out. So I jump in. I'm thinking, I was a great swimmer, though, right? So I go, okay, I'm going to jump in and I'll get attention, right? But see, I'm thinking, if I don't want to die, I'll just swim out, right? Charlie, homie, let me tell you, the water's rolling, dog. I jumped in. I was done.
There was no swimming.
It was just like running hard, bro. And
your feet, you could hear your feet on the floor?
No.
It just tumbles you.
Just throws you over. But it's level with the bank. You know how high the river is, right?
Yeah.
I went down like maybe about 100 yards, if not more, and it threw me out into the bank. I was going to die.
So you got spit out, so that's what saved you.
That's God. There was a reason for that, homeboy. You know what I'm saying? Because I should have been dead, bro. And because I figured if I don't want to die, I'll just do the fucking underwater shit. Right?
Yeah.
Fuck that. It spit me out, bro. It just threw me out. Because what was good about it is that it was level with the bank. Now, if it was below the bank,
you'd have been fucked.
I would hit the wall. I'd be hitting the wall coming back in. You know what
I'm saying? The river said out.
Hey, yeah.
Brother. It took you out and kept the couch.
How stupid. So check it out, homie. So I go back to the, you know, to her pad, you know, half naked and shit. You know, I'm underwear, and then I'm crying. I go, I try to kill myself, you know, try to pity shit, right? You know, fucking, what a fool, right, homie? So check it out. So she puts a blanket on me, makes me some soup, and I'm fucking crying. She's like a fucking bitch and shit. I don't mean bitch in the bad way, but I'm just saying, you know, pathetic shit, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
So she goes,
I mean, you could have got an Oscar.
And then she's taking care of me for about an hour, and then all of a sudden she goes, you know, I still don't want you, right?
Oh! Fuck you, bitch. You
I started
me
crying again.
What was the soup for?
You give me camel soup.
That's what it was. Chicken noodle, homie.
Fucking saltines, eh?
You remember that story, y'all, homie? Yeah. What a trip. A fucking fool, dog. Yeah. You know.
That's some good ass stories. Like, for real stories, man. Right.
That's fucking crazy, man. If you guys know what the LA River looks like, it's deep, man.
Yeah, especially in the barrio, you know.
And it runs hard, man. So much to Joe Pinder, man. That must be crazy love.
It was stupid love, brother. Stupid love. You know what I'm saying? Don't need nobody love like that. You know what I mean? But, you know, bro, it's like, you know, you find something you think you didn't have before, and then when you find it, you want to hold on to it. And when it wants to go, it's kind of, it hurts, bro. You know,
oh,
man,
hell
you know,
yeah.
I used to play all my oldies. Everything, every song you heard, every oldie, I listen to oldies, that's all I listen to. You start, it had like a moment. Even if a song had to relate to her, you hear a word, and go, oh, yeah, that's her. You know, it's fucking stupid.
Like 18 with a bullet, fuck, she was 15.
You know what I'm saying, bro?
Every chapter of your life.
You know what I'm saying? It's a trip, man.
I'm your puppet. Why was you treating me like a puppet?
That was our song, but though.
I'm your puppet?
I'm your puppet, because I was her puppet.
Oh, yeah?
Her song to me was Natural High, and then I'm your puppet was, that was because I would do, you know.
Pull these strings.
And
wink at you.
I'm your puppet.
Yep.
This is Arla Ball. This is a shout out to them. She's over there. That's funny, man. Those songs you never hear on 103.5. Now coasting right now is Lulu and Elysian Valley. This goes out to you. I'm your puppet.
And you still hear it all the time. I say it's a trip because, you know, like I listen to Art LeBeau at nighttime, and I'm still a big Art LeBeau fan. And they'll play that song. And even though it's been so many years, you know, it reflects to where you were at the time. You dig it? That's what my oldies, you know, it's to live forever, man. You know?
You put on a life. You start hearing that song, you start putting on a life vest, huh?
That's funny, bro. That's fucking funny. I can't use that because the people wouldn't get it.
Only
Felipe would get it. He was the only one in the audience laughing and shit.
Mija, I think about you every time I put in a snorkel.
Where's my fins?
Fuck, bro.
I think about you every time I hear watch that movie with Brad Pitt where a river runs through it. That's crazy, man. So your brother's not in the business, huh?
No.
Your brothers, your family members?
No, not at all. You know, I did, my brother, you know, it was we would. They did a couple of extra jobs, you know, for me one time, and I remember I got my brother and one of my other partners, one of the homeboys, to do a movie with me, and we were in a bar, and I was taking advantage of a girl, you know, I was raping the girl right in the movie. It's a movie, and so we're rehearsing, and you know, just nobody's really doing nothing, and my brother and them are in the bar watching, you know. And then they said action, and then I'm into this shit, bro. And she's into it. We're fucking getting, you know, we're going cuts out crazy on a bar stool, but they don't know we're acting, right? Because they were just there as actors. They were going, and they were supposed to be talking. Oh, fuck, they're supposed to be talking, and then all of a sudden they see this action going on, and it looks like we're really having sex, you know. And they're going, and they stop, and they're just like, fuck, whatever they're supposed to be doing. They were just like, get it, homie. Give them the reverse shuffle, homies.
Slap it, homie. Do it for la raza.
And they were like, cut. He goes, guys, what are
fucking
you doing?
Fucking needle dick.
Save me some, man.
It was fucking funny,
though. Oh, man. It turned into blood in, blood out. Hey, Joker. I like your old lady. Yeah, save me some.
I'm almost going, hey, check it out, check. Look what they were acting over here.
They're naturals.
Oh man!
So they were just their scene was they were supposed to just hang out and be nonchalant.
Well, they're my guys, but and they know what I'm going to be over there because I'm getting like a payback on her. You know what I'm saying? But they were took it like it was they don't know what the fuck was going on. You know, it's pretty fucking hilarious, bro. You know.
Funny, man, like some scenes with your red man, they're like fucking killing you fucked up, bro. I saw this one movie where I think the movie is gang related, I think. I don't know if it's gang related, but it's I think it's Christian Bale.
Oh, Harsh Times.
Harsh Times. And yeah. there's a bar scene, then out of nowhere the fucking paisa just fucking kills you, bro. Like what the fuck? What is he doing right now? Like Emilio just sitting there, dude, and you know it's Emilio, and then all of a sudden this fucking paisa comes out of nowhere and just kills him, bro, in the bar.
That was ugly. You know what it is? I've died 14 times on screen, so I always gotta figure a new way of dying, you know what I'm talking about? And that was one of the good ones. You know what I'm saying?
Always work.
Yeah, always got to find a different way.
Yeah, bro, they got to throw you in a sea, bro, where you die drowning, bro, in a river, bro.
Well, I want to do a CD called The Faces of Death of Emilio Rivera. You know what I'm talking? I got enough to make a CD out of it. You know, it's been good, man.
Yeah, man, because I remember one time when we first went to your house, Gabriel and I, and you were showing us how to make an acting reel. You showed your acting reel.
A demo, yeah.
And then, man, that acting reel to me and Gabriel more like Scare Straight, man. I mean, this guy kills. And then in the last scene, I think you were shooting somebody in a soap opera, bro.
Oh, that girl. Yeah, black her head off.
Yeah, they get real thinking, man. I'm trying to get a Nickelodeon, man.
That's funny, bro.
Serious.
It's true, man. Gabriel said, I'm trying to get a Nickelodeon. This guy's showing That's me the acting reel with fucking violence. And then it's funny though.
1,000 ways to die.
On one of the reels, fucking Chuck Norris, it hits you, and then me and Gabriel start laughing, bro. And then you look to the series, hey, hold on, I don't really fight like that. And then me and Gabriel get quiet, bro. Me and Gabriel get scared. Okay, that's cool.
That's a great joke, bro.
Turn it off, man.
Because you know on TV and stuff, you gotta take these wire, you know, for the camera and stuff. You know, you don't really nobody fights like that. You lose every single time. You know, because especially that character, he was going like this.
he was throwing roundhouses, and he's right in front of him.
You just gotta jab him, you know.
You know, laughing, Daddy's fools my fight weird, eh? I don't really fight like that, eh?
Oh shit, man!
Dude, that shit was funny, man.
So oh, hilarious, God. Man.
So, man, you're on the last season of Last Sons of Anarchy, man. How long was the run?
Seven seasons.
35 episodes?
I did 32 out 32. Of the, I did 90 out of 90, and it was on. Did you see last night, bro?
Bro, I'm going to lie to you, bro. I have no TV. I only have Blu-ray.
Oh, right. Is that right?
And I only have ABC, CBS, NBC, and UHF.
That's a new thing now, bro. Everybody just see what you want to see. You know what I'm saying? You know, Netflix and stuff like that. I don't even got Netflix, bro. I don't even got DVR. I don't got none of that shit. I got to watch it when it happens, or otherwise I miss No, but what it is, did anybody see last night? They just killed three main characters last night, bro.
Oh, shit.
Three of them.
You didn't expect?
Oh, I knew because I read the script.
No, but people, the audience didn't expect those three guys to go.
They had to go at one point or the other, but they took three out last night.
Nasty?
Yeah, bro, all of them. All of them. The three was, some shit went down last night, brother. It was really, and actually when I knew because we did the table read about 6 weeks ago, and when I read, we read as a group before we film. And I had to walk out of that table read, bro. That was how heavy it was when we were reading. I just couldn't take it, you know what I'm saying? It was really some serious fucking writing, bro.
It sucks that when you're looking at a long-ass show and, man, and then it gets toward the end. It goes, man, you're not just killing this guy off his TV network. You're killing him off a serious paycheck every week.
But these people made it to the 7 years, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like you become so close to these people, bro.
It's like you're working buddies, like a family, huh?
Like family, bro. You're with them a lot of hours, you know, and then you even off of work, you're still friends, you know, and it's just, like so when somebody dies, it hurts inside. It's a trip, bro. You know, especially I've never been on a show for 7 years, bro. So I'm glad I had that experience, you know.
That must be crazy because they kill you off in a scene, and then that's your last scene. All right, that was great for here. Hey, thank you for working with us.
Right, like when they wrap you out.
Yeah, exactly. Sucks.
That's always nice, though, bro.
Yeah, when they clap, feels good. It feels like you're leaving summer camp. I always feel like when a movie. You know, except Matador, You know,
just like when we when I, my last episode when I did when I shot my last episode a few weeks ago, I was ready to get in. I didn't want all that because there was a lot of people there, right? And I was in the ready in the van, just go, and we're going to take off to back to my trailer. And then the guy that plays Tig, Kim Coach, said, "Hey, wait a minute, today's your last day, right?" And I go, "Yeah." He goes, "If you're not getting away with that, he's not going to, brother. Kick back, bro. Let's just go back to the trailer. I don't want this, all this, you know." And he goes, nah, you get out of the fucking van right now, man. You know, so I get out of the van. He goes, and then they tell the first AD, and then they get everybody together, bro. And it was a very, very, very touching, man. You know, they came up, and this is the Emilio series, blah, blah, blah. And I'm a crybaby, boy. I started crying, you know, and then everybody comes one at a time. You know, all the stars come and give you a hug. It was beautiful, man. It really was, you know, and then everybody's clapping for you. It was really, I have it on tape, Jacob Vargas. So after it's all said and done, I'll put it up. So
people can all right.
It was really fantastic, cool, man.
Yeah, we were trying to get Jacob Vargas. I really run into him.
You do? If you go Saturday, he's going to be there with me on Saturday. Me, Danny, me, Danny Trejo.
Tell people we're going to be this Saturday if they want to bring us toys.
This Saturday, we're going to be at, the Children's Hospital. It's a blood drive, you know, and last celebrities coming down, you know, myself and Danny Trejo, Jacob Vargas, Rusty Coons, Felipe Esparza, and many, many others, bro. And what it is this week, we give kids to the kids that are dying of cancer, man. You know, it's a cancer ward, and it's really sad, you know, I've been doing it for 6 years now. And it's a Children's Hospital, you know, and it's from 8 to 2. And just like, because you get close to some of these kids, and you know, then they die like a year later. It's really it's fucking fucked up, dude.
Hell yeah, man.
You know, so it's a good, great cause, you know. And if you don't want to donate blood, you know, just bring a toy, you know, because you just put it in the basket, and we go and give it to the kids during the day. You know, it's really nice, man. It really is. You know?
So you've been doing that for 6 years?
6 years. I do a lot of charities, bro, you know, but that's one of my favorite ones, you know. It's hard, though. Sometimes you'll leave out there crying and shit, you know what I mean? It's kind of fucked up, man, you know.
So you do that every year? You just show up and leave the toy? And
No. The toys are already there.
Oh.
Toys, so you don't bring no toy. You're going to come solo. I mean, without just... The toys are already there for the celebrities. And then we go into every room, and they split us up and go to different wings. And we give presents to the kids and talk to them for like about 5 minutes. And then
move on,
you know? You know, it's really cool, man, you know, and it makes them feel good, you know. Some of the kids don't even have somebody to go visit them. It's kind of fucking sad, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
It's
a good time. This is a time for giving, bro, you know. I mean, I try to give throughout the year, but this is, you know, this is holiday season, you know.
That's where
you
like
need the most, you know.
Feel that shit.
I bet you get hit up every day, huh, Emilio? I got this fundraiser, bro.
I get hit up a lot, Carnal. You know, I get
hit up. Emilio, we're going to start this project. All we need is funding, but we got you.
What I do now is I just send it to my agent now because it's kind of ridiculous, bro. Like I had this one dude. I got tired of this fucking story. This dude goes, "Hey, bro, no, I wrote a script. Would you read it?" And if I know you, I'll read it. But if I don't know you, bro, I say send it to my agent. My agent will have people read it for me, and then they'll send it to me. This is worth reading, you know. But you know, I go, you know what, okay, so they sent it to me, and I always look at the last, I always go to the end, see how many pages it is, right? You know, fucking 108 pages, that's fucking a lot of pages, right? So I go, that's cool, so check it out. He goes, and the last thing he tells me, he goes, "I wrote it in 45 minutes.
Oh, this fool.
So check it out. Anybody listening to this, don't ever fucking do that to me, okay? Cause that was fucking bullshit. I'll never talk to you again. I haven't talked to him again, right? Check it out, homie.
45 minutes to write. He's got a masterpiece. Look at Jack Kerouac over here.
But you know what? After reading it, it probably did it in 30 minutes, Carnal. You know what I'm talking about?
What do you do? There's a
thing called final draft. Yeah, let me tell you what. Final draft will help you, you know, put it together right and do it just right. What he did, it was cool because some of the pages just had like one word. You know what I'm talking about? Because, you know, they don't know how to work out the format.
Exactly. Yeah.
So like some pages had like literally like one word or three words, you know. So it's really only like 48 pages long. You know,
next, furthermore,
he wrote a long kid's book.
But then what it was is it was like he smoked a Leno, joint, and anything that went through his mind, he just wrote it because it was just weird. He was over here with a family, also he's dying and.
I was channeling my fucking scenes, eh?
You know, back in the day, when I used to get loaded. You know, you just go through all kinds of shit.
He was scatterbrained everywhere.
It didn't even make no sense, bro. It could have been like the synopsis for about eight stories. You know what I'm talking about?
So how do we get to Disneyland without a car?
It was like fucking. And I called him up and I said, "Look, bro, don't ever do that shit to me again, bro. I got my time is money, homie. Don't do this no more." And I don't mean to be an asshole, bro, but that was like really a waste of fucking time. It really was. It was not even good.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
He'll probably listen to Pink Floyd. Okay, Bark at the Moon.
God damn.
You know what I'm
the
saying?
The balls on this guy.
Yeah, but, you know, I did it because, you know, he's not a real friend, but we did a movie together, you know, so, you know, we bonded for, you know, for the 2 weeks that we were together, I guess, you know, and, well, don't take advantage of me like that, brother. I won't take advantage of you. You know, I won't, don't do it to me like I won't, or vice versa, where the fuck, however that saying goes, you know. You know, don't do to others you don't want done to yourself. Yeah. You dig what I'm saying? Fuck that. Because it was terrible, man. You know, it's bullshit, man. It's like, you feel like reading a script? No, fuck. Like, you're a mechanic. You feel like working on a car? Come on, say fucking shit. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, bro, for reals. You know, like, Felipe, tell me, Joe, you okay? Go ahead, tell me. I hate when people fucking say that. Remember that shit? Just, I'm sure they do it all the time.
All the time.
You're funny? Okay, let me see. How funny are you? Shut the fuck up, bro. You know?
What the fuck?
That's crazy, man. They threw you a script. I remember when I was at Wild Coyote, some guy wrote a script. Right, and he put it like one of those folders with the bending things.
What, a manila envelope?
Manila envelope, yeah. But you know, it had three rings on it, and they were all bent, that little bending binder folder.
Yeah.
And it was called Bus Drivers, starring Gabriel Iglesias, Willie Barcena, and an actor to be known later. So this guy wrote it was Gabriel Iglesias, Willie Barcena, and me, and we're bus drivers. But he wrote it, you know, he wrote it, bro. This guy actually sat down and wrote it, and we had the same names and everything, and we're bus drivers, but all the jokes were all jokes that we say. All the lines were all stuff that we say, but there was no format, there was no story. It was just like I said, "Hey," I must have said "What's up, fool?" I got 10,000 times on that thing. I think I started every line with "What's up, fool?"
Nothing,
"What's
bro.
Up, fool? You guys want to eat? Oh, let's go eat!"
Damn.
Eh? And then Willie will be like, "Where's all the hoochies?" Just stuff that Willie said, like, "Where's all the hoochies?"
Well, then right here on a Wednesday,
then he'll write like, "Gabriel right here does a noise for a fire engine."
That's funny, dog. But see, you know, it's like that. I wrote this with you in mind, bro. Like, you're gonna say, just jump all over that shit, right? Just look at the funny right now. It's written for me. Shut the fuck up, man. This is the way we do it now. What we do now is just say, "Do you have funding?" Okay, that's the first thing. you guys funded already. Sometimes it's good. I mean, if it's something's really good, you put your name on it. That way they can get funding, which is cool. But the first question is, are you funded yet? So then now we got to go to the channels if we're going to even read the script. You dig what I'm saying, bro? It's just because everybody has a script. This is Hollywood, but everybody got a motherfucking script. Everybody got a fucking story. You dig what I'm saying? But how good is that story?
It's cutting out the bullshit with teaching
you have
line.
To, bro. You really have, and I used to try to read everybody out of courtesy, you know. I would try to read everything, but it just got to be too fucking much, bro. You dig? Sometimes I'll be stuck reading these scripts a day. I got shit to do, you know.
And then everybody has a script, man. Like, there was a guy that came up to me at one of those shows, and then he gave me a one of those chips things, a gigabyte.
Flash drive?
A flash drive with a script in it.
Yeah.
He goes, "Don't be like Gabriel, man. Don't throw it away." Like that. And I said, "Well, Gabriel didn't like it."
You know what sucks though?
You can't sell your movie like that.
Hell no, you already tell me to throw it away.
Listen, bro, don't be like Emilio, bro, and shove it up my ass, bro. Here.
Mango style.
Got you, bro. Fuck that.
You know, Damon Wayans used to have a bit, one of his HBO specials, that some guy walks up to him and goes, "Man," he goes back to his hometown, and a lot of his homies walk up to Damon Wayans in New York. "Yo, Damon, I got a movie for you, man. It's called Pimps in Space." So this guy, I was, "Okay, Pimps in Space, that sounds hilarious." But then he sent me a script, and that shit is blank. It's blank.
You gave him a title, right?
No, he gave him a blank page. He goes, "Well, but this shit's blank." "Oh, man, Damon, we got it. You just write the funny, man."
You know how you do? You pimping all these alien bitches.
You just go to Hollywood, man. You tell them Pimps in Space, Damon Wayans, put in the words, call me, write the check. This guy doesn't even know the difference. This guy acting like a executive producer of a major studio right here.
That's funny.
Just greenlit the project, dog.
Yeah, people don't understand, you know, how long it takes, and you know, sometimes it can take like to get something developed, like 3 to 6 years, brother. You know what I'm talking about? You know, and that's being real. You know,
hell yeah.
You know, there's a lot of work behind it, brother. A lot of work behind it.
People think that shit happens overnight and shit.
Like, some people walk up to, like, I remember I was working with some guy, man, and he goes, "Man, he has this masterpiece sitcom, right? And it was so masterpiece that he couldn't tell me the title." Okay, we had a meeting with my manager at the time. And I had him with my manager. I took him to a level with his masterpiece that nobody's going to take him to a real manager who produced Dave Chappelle shows, you know, to produce Half Baked. Yeah, this guy's the manager of Dave Chappelle, you know, Barry Katz. And Barry Katz sat him down. And he told him, like, the truth. Listen, there's a lot of ideas out there. What makes you special? Yeah. But he still did not want to let us read it. He wanted to make us sign of a release form before we read the script. Yeah. And I read it. Let me tell you, it was nothing fancy.
Is that right?
You know, but this guy's supposed to gonna bring back the sitcom style and this and that. And then sometimes, man, you just gotta open your eyes, man, and realize that, you know, you gotta trust people. But he I read it, you know, but. And I help as far as I could, but then they wanted me to do all the work. I took you to the office. They didn't like you. You didn't like them. What else can I do for you? Yeah, you know, I'm not even getting paid for this.
You had your chance, dude. Yeah.
Like, what could you do,
exactly,
man?
Exactly, bro. You gave him the chance.
I brought you into a guy that moves. You know, he's a player in the game. I'm not a player.
Can you answer this question of what's special about your shit? Nothing.
You know, what's so special? You know, when the world was going to make you special. And then he asked them, what other ideas you have? And that's his only idea. Fuck. Hey, who wants a guy with one idea?
Yeah. You know,
you got to have backup.
People like people say, I want to do what you do. And I say,
can you swim?
No. I tell them, I give them the steps, you know, how I did. It's not one way. There's different ways of doing it. You know, you never know how it's going to work out. I just know I did it the hard way. And I tell you, I'm going to tell you how I did it. That's the only thing I know. You dig? And I know all that part. You know, I don't want to do theater. I don't want to do comedy. I don't want to do skit comedy. I don't want to study. I just want to do what you do, bro. Well, I got here because I did all this, man. You know what I mean? To get to where I'm at right now. You know what I'm saying? It's just like everybody want to do what we do. It's just they don't see the hustle and grind that we did to
people
get there.
Think you dig what I'm saying? Local, you know?
Like when I did that.
I'm funny. I'm funny, bro. I'm funny. I go, yeah. I seen a guy. I put a guy on stage that's really stupid. I wasted Rudy Moreno's time. And he goes, dude, I'm funny, bro. I go, yeah. He goes, how much time you got? I got about 8 minutes. I go, cool. He was there on stage for 2 minutes, bro. He took himself out. And then Rudy told him, don't ever come on stage when you're not prepared.
Who, Noel G?
No. No. Some other from I don't want to say.
He came with his own flashlight, eh?
He said he took himself off the stage.
He came with his own flashlight.
Noel
I got
G,
the light.
He told you that?
No.
I just did something with Noel. Noel's a good guy.
No, he's funny.
Yeah, you brought Noel G to the room
the
they used to run in Lakewood back in the day, the Hop,
yeah,
with William Felipe.
Exactly, yeah, right there. Exactly.
Got the little orange jumpsuit.
That was cool, man, because you told us to do my room at Montebello,
yeah,
man.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. It used to be good times, bro. We had a lot of good times, you know? But now it's like...
People still call you to do stand up though.
I charge an arm and a leg, bro. I charge $100.
Oh, they both call you. Can you do my Wednesday, please?
No, I do $100 a minute. You know what I'm saying?
That's good.
It's just good.
That's good.
That'll take away the people that really want to respect your shit.
There
people,
you go.
You
know, yeah, because people think that just because you only have so many people. Oh, well, you only got 20 minutes.
Yeah,
well, but still, man, they know who you are.
It's still $2,000. You know,
yeah.
You know, for 20 minutes, I'll take it. You know, but what it is, you know, that's my thing. I charge $100 a minute. You know, you want to do that? We're good to go. And then I do it out of town. They pay the money, bro. They don't even care if you're funny. They just want to see that you're there and sign some autographs. Say that works out for me. You dig? But I do two shows a year. And I do one for Rudy Moreno because Rudy Moreno, he was already a guy who was made back in when I started, and he would come and be my front guy. You know, for a year, for like 14 shows for me, and I really respect that. Cause I looked it up to him all the time, and I still do. And so for him, he does a show every year for the toys, and so I do that. You know, I'm bottle right there. I mean, just a free shot for him because I remember what he did for me. I don't forget, brother. I don't forget a lot of things, you know. So that I do, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
But the most, because I know you did that Cholos of Comedy with Joey Medina, right? And Emilio rolling his eyes, people. He's saying Matador 2.
Nah, you know, I love Joey, and that's another thing too. Is
that was a good production, right?
It was a great production, but when it was Joey, same
a
with
hustler,
Joey.
Bro.
You know, Joey back in the day. Joey would come and do a room for me. Hey, bro, I'm doing this, and Joey was there. So that's how I did it for Joey because, you know, it was a money thing, you know. And I think what I was asking for was the whole budget of the whole fucking damn production. You know what I'm saying? And then he's going, "Come on, bro, you're the only real cholo at a cholo comedy staff. You're the guy. You know, you have to do it." And we worked it out, and it worked out. And I love Joey. I know a lot of comedians over the years. This is what happened with me, my comedian, like my comedy things that. I saw when everybody were friends. Everybody was tight, bro. I saw everybody coming up. That's why I started from the get with everybody. And what happened was I started seeing people arguing about jokes, and I started seeing these little chicken shit little fights, and I said, well, that, I got to step away from it because I fight for real, bro. You know what I'm talking about? Like, if you get me involved, somebody's going to get fucked up. Now I'm going to get a bad name. And you can't hire that guy. I got to fuck you up. So I just step back and watch all these nice relationships get broken up over a fucking joke, bro. You know what I'm talking about? Or somebody didn't pay fucking rent, or it was just, you know, it was tough. I saw it all fall apart, you know, because I mean, you know, we were a group, bro. It was like these.
Yeah, you guys were a big group at the Angus. Yeah, Black Angus. Black Angus.
It was like 10 of us, you know what I'm saying? And it's all of them. Everybody I name right now, they're doing something, you know what I'm saying? You know, it was a trip, you know. So I kind of stepped back, bro, and I didn't pick sides. I just was cool with everybody, you know what I'm saying? You know, I saw it over a joke.
I wrote it, bro. He did it on Local Slam, bro. So, man, I remember one time, man, we were doing a show, and this comedian, he brought you up, and I remember, like, this fucking idiot, man. And I wanted to punch him, man.
What did he say?
He brought you up like this, man. This guy, you got to know him, man. He's crazy. He grew up in Frogtown, yeah, eh? Yeah, he's crazy.
I didn't like that,
and what the fuck is this idiot, eh?
Yeah, and that happened to be in an area. And
yeah,
that,
La Puente, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
El Camacho's.
I won't say nobody's names who brought me up. I never bring up names, but I was saying, I'm getting pumped up to get up. You know, they're pumping you up, and usually that's your whole pump up is, I mean, your whole introduction is your pump up because you're starting to feel good. You hear the audience going crazy, and I was like that, and all of a sudden he said that, and then it kind of like brought me down, you know?
Yeah, man.
And then after the thing, I said, don't ever do that, bro, because what it is, I know where I'm from, and if you don't know, that's okay, because I don't want to be in your face. Yeah, I'm from so-and-so, and look where you're at, and I'm up here. That's not my style, homeboy. And then that night, that same fucking night, three guys from two different neighborhoods came up to me and go, hey, homes, you know, we don't get along, but you know what? You're doing good for Arasa. They showed me out of respect. You know, they were so, you know, and as I told him, don't ever fucking do that. Don't, I don't need it. That's fucking bullshit, bro. You know what I'm talking about? And then that's how he ended. He goes, and he's from trouble. Come on, homeboy. You know what the fuck's up with that?
Added element of conflict that you don't need. It's a show business.
For what? We're just having fun over here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And he's, but if you don't, you have to, but then again, the guy's a fucking idiot. a fool.
Come on, bro.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Come on, bro. You're from there, bro.
Dude, you know
what's a funny ass intro? This is a comedian named G. Riley, and this comedian didn't have nothing to say about him, right? So, I think it was Sebastian Cetina. He brought him up. He goes, your next comedian, he lives in a boat.
On the marina.
That was in the marina. He sailed over here on the Pinta in the Santa Maria. Give it up for G. Riley.
That's funny, bro. That's funny.
On the side, this motherfucker.
That's funny, man. You know,
it's crazy.
It's, man. It's been a lot of fun. The thing with the comedy too, bro, is like
a competition, huh?
It was not so much comedy. No, it's just like, you know, man. I had a lot of good times, you know, like, you
it was
know,
fun,
it was fun. A lot of, you know, women fucking galore, but back in the day, you know, and, I mean, it probably still is, but I mean, it was just, it got to be too easy. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of like.
For you, bro.
No.
We're here getting leftovers and shit. Bro, you go here. Tell us, bro. Tell us.
It was ridiculous, dog. It was like a rock star kind of shit.
It was, right? Because it was like the beginning, huh? Almost the beginning you were of a bunch of like, comedians.
It was like. Fuck, bro, it was nuts.
I think Willie. No, it was you, Will. It was me. It was him. It was Carlos Oscar. Luke Torres.
Luke Torres, and Luke was a funny motherfucker.
He was a very talented guy.
Yeah, great voices. And
you got
Gilbert Esquivel, Jeff Garcia.
Yeah,
Jeff Garcia was like 16 years old, bro.
Yeah, he was young.
Yeah, 16.
Dropped out of high school, man, to ask questions.
And he would be drinking like he because he was hanging with us. He was drinking with everybody. It was
you were drinking back then?
No, I got 24 years clean, brother. No, I was always a clean guy. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy, man.
I was always clean.
I remember when me and Gabriel, man, Gary Iglesias and I, because we Gabriel fooled around, but he didn't fool around like we were like players. But we went to go get a STD test because we didn't know what was going on, man. And when we get there, man, like I was clean. It was like chlamydia, nothing, you know, herpes, nothing, bro. I got all A's.
You got all A's.
And then Gabriel, when they told Gabriel Iglesias, he was clean too. All the doctor told him was, you got to start buying bigger underwear.
Why?
Yeah, because he thought it was hurting him, right? He thought it was something, but it was because he had tight underwear. They told him he had
to. Just because he had tight underwear, you guys all got checked.
Yeah.
Fucking huggies, eh?
They said, okay, boxers, bro. You tidy need boxer whitey, briefs.
Tantanas were good.
So you never caught anything in the game? That's crazy, huh? You know, I'm going to plead the fifth, bro. I'm still fighting a lawsuit here.
I had a lot of fun, bro. I had a lot of fun. It was a trip.
You told us this crazy story, man. But just about, you know, catching stuff. You know, back in the day.
You said you were some chick one time, and, like, you had just gotten back with her, and she let you go, and you're like, you messed around for about a week, and then you came back, and then you said, oh, shit, hey. That's the bad thing when you get back with somebody, and then you have another baby somewhere else or something.
That sucks too, bro. You know,
yeah. That happened to you, no. That happened to you, right?
It's happened to me.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did. Well, you know what it was, man? I was a fool. I used to play around a lot. I was a player, bro, but a long time ago.
A player and a fighter, man. My kind of guy.
I say, after 40, ladies, I'll be honest with you, you're not really going to get a guy to settle down to. He's about 45. And then it started like, whatever, I'll kick back, you know? That's just real, dog.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's for reals, bro. Because and that's when, you know, one time, you know, we used to be in my neighborhood, there was like four of us. I used to always lift weights and, you know, train all the time. And we would have bets, like stupid bets, like how many girls can you sleep with tonight? You know, like maybe 3, 4, 5, right? Or sometimes, well, I made the ultimate bet, okay, because we'd always be betting, right? And then I said, you know what? I could live with 3 girls in 1 month, you know? That was like, okay.
Live,
right?
Wow.
And I won. But then she had a baby and I really it was really stupid, you know what I'm saying? You know, but that was the kind of bets we used to have, you know what I mean? Like you know, or we could, we did some crazy shit, bro. We had some good times. You know?
That is crazy ass bet.
Yeah,
that's almost like Motley Crue bit.
Yeah, but we used to be fools, bro. We were fools. We thought we were top of the world, bro. And you know, just in the video, you know, we just it was a trip.
That's crazy, huh? So now, man, what you got going up next?
I'm doing a movie right now with you know, Tommy Flanagan from the show and some Casper. It's a hip hop movie. I'm filming tomorrow and Friday. I'm doing a horror movie the following week. I got 4 movies coming out next year, and I start the new show called Hand of God next year, bro. Early next year, so it's good. Stay busy. I try to do one movie or TV show per month, bro. You know, I got, for me, I have to work, bro. It's not, you know, of course I need money, but it's a release, bro. For me, I have to be doing something, man. You know, it's good. You know,
so you're gang related too.
I wasn't gang related for 13 episodes. Yeah, I played Theo Gordo. Yeah, I was a hitman for them. It was a fucking great show, bro. I love that show. We didn't get picked up again, but man, I had a blast on that. It was great.
The lead actor is not Latino, huh? He's a Maori, huh?
Yeah. He's from New Zealand. Nice guy, Cliff Curtis.
He's a good actor.
Great actor, bro. You know?
I saw him, the first time I saw him in a movie, it was a movie called... Once We Were Warriors.
He
played the rapist, dude. But his brother's a bad motherfucker, man.
That was
man.
A great movie, that's bro. It's classic. You ever see that?
Yeah.
No.
Once We Were Warriors, get that movie.
Yeah, that's a good movie. And, so what's up, Fool Rodrigo? Any questions, Fool? Were they all quiet and shit?
Just chilling, man. Letting that shit fucking flow, dog. Fucking chilling, dude. Right here with fucking the great Emilio Rivera.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, man.
I was going to remind you real quick about that. I always used to do your voice. I do your voice. I do Joey.
I want to hear you do it.
He does a good dude.
What's going on, homie? Everything all right? Right. What I do?
It's good, right?
Did a battle real quick. So I did your voice, Joey Diaz's voice. I always used to do, you know, just fools that I like, you know what I mean? And one time, I was doing it a lot around that one time where you came over to Mondo's house. We're watching the last episode of Que Locos. And that's when you were telling us all the stories in the backyard. And then also that you were on the red carpet for a movie. And all your homies seeing you on you know, on the red carpet. They're all, hey, who's that veterana with you? So we used to do that. Was a whole joke, and I guess Gabriel and Mondo told you that I was doing it, and then like they got me. You know what I mean?
That was good, man.
They had you call the office and go, "Hey, I'm looking for that vato. They call Shailen Bob. I need to talk to him. He's talking some stuff with my veterana." And I was like, "Oh shit!" And they played it for me. And I was like, "Dude!" And then I go over there, and I start getting all fucking weird and go, "What the fuck's gonna happen?" And these motherfuckers come out, and just start laughing and shit.
That was
and
hilarious,
I was like,
bro.
Fuck, dog. I
left my rude message. I go ahead. I say, you know what? I hear you talk. You're imitating me. I don't like that, you know. And then I pulled up to the house and he's there.
And then they did that, dog. I'm like, fuck. These fools snitching, dog.
So I remember, like, you used to have right there in your neighbor when you used to live in a neighborhood, you used to have this fucking 24-hour tamale cookout, bro.
Well, I used to own those four houses. Everywhere. Yeah. I used to have the Christmas time. I used to cook for the. It was slash homeboy slash celebrity parties every Christmas, and they would bring a gift, and you ate all day long. Remember that, bro? It was good times. Oh shit, that's me.
He got the hey, Holmes. I got this movie ready.
Sorry about that, bro. And yeah, bro. And it got so big, you know. Like I would give the presents out to the kids in the continuation in my neighborhood. But then it got to be so big, so many presents, I had to go to the schools and passing them out. It was really nice, bro. It was really nice. I used to get UPS come with pallets of toys every Christmas and drop them off. It was really nice, bro.
Hell yeah.
And nice my way of saying Merry Christmas to my friends and Merry Christmas to the kids, you know.
Yeah, I remember that when I first I saw when I went to your house because I was living over there. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. Hey, it's right there. I better go. And it was kind of late. There was still people there. That's where I first met Lobo, the actor.
Lobo Sebastian. And he'll be there Saturday.
And
as
I
well,
say, every cholo in every movie was here today.
Exactly.
That's true. The who's cause, who. What's up,
because we, you know, it's because, you know, we call it the usual suspects. And we go out for a movie, you know. And so those are pretty much my main group of guys, you know, like Danny Trejo, Lobo Sebastian, you know, Ray Gallegos, who just called right now, you know. So he's going to be there as well. It's a good time, man. Good time. Good people, man.
Do when you ride your motorcycle now, do people recognize you as Alvarez?
Well, they a lot, you know, because I wear the same. But a lot of guys have the same shit. Yeah. But a lot of people know what my bikes look like. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you know. So you get people that just want to pull over and just, you know, you wait. They chase you in the red light. It's kind of weird sometimes, you know. But then you just, you know, throw a little pistol picture and we're good. You know?
Do people ask you, hey bro, what can I get some Mayan gear?
Yeah, and I tell them where it's just right there. Get it right there at Bartels, right there in Manhattan Beach, bro.
But you guys sell the Mayan gear for Son of Iron King? Yeah, like the gear, the leather stuff?
No, just only the t-shirts. The vest, they gave me my vest.
Bro. Oh, man, I was going to ask for that.
Yeah, they actually noted to me last week. And they had called a month ago. Say what out of all the stuff they made from what he's worn over the years. So they sent me my vest. They sent me my cell phone that I use on there and my belt.
How about the boots?
No, they kept the boots for archives, bro. Oh. I know. I asked for them too.
You just send us a picture of the Mayan one, of the Mayan vest, so you can put it on our webpage.
I will. I'm was going to put it up for Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a picture with it at home. So the show is like, you know, it's retired now. It's done. You know, so I'm going to put that one up for sure. I'll send it to you for sure.
So it was all made out of leather and it was legit.
Oh, it's a nice vest, bro. And I've had that one, same vest for 7 years and the same boots for 7 years. And the boots I have, my snakeskin, I've been shot twice on the show. And the blood is still on there, bro. So they're going to keep that, you know. And I wanted those because it's kind of like a nice memory. But at least I got the vest, you know.
Cool, man. So, people, next Tuesday, December 9th, watch the season finale of Sons of Anarchy, people.
Actually, the series finale.
The series finale. That's it, people. Some people, are you going to, did they tell you about spinning off to another show?
Nah, you know, if that was going to happen, we would have known by now, you know, because we'd be in production right now, brother.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You know, yeah. So, it's not a lot of hearsay, but it's not, I could tell you straight up, it's not going to happen.
I'm pretty sure, man, you're probably land another show on a network somewhere else, huh?
I'm hoping.
A series, you know, another series?
You know what it is? Like, you know what's good about, you know, Fox is on? They kind of, you know, keep the family together. Like, when I finished, I was on Gang Related for 6 months. We did 13 episodes. And I told my wife, you know, I'm taking 3 months off. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm turning down. I don't want to work around. I'm going to take 3 months off because it's a lot of work, right? And then, like, 6 days later, they said, Fox offered you a movie in Germany. You're leaving Tuesday. I said, okay, you know, and it's a big movie, bro. It was for Paul Walker, but Paul Walker passed away, so they gave it to another cat named Rupert Friend. It's called Agent 47. It's like those James Bond movies. It's really cool, bro. You're going to dig it, man. Really cool.
Yeah, man. You're always in a memorable roles, man. You and Danny Trejo.
Yeah, thanks,
man. Like, people always say, yeah, that's that guy from that thing right there.
Exactly.
Like when you were in that movie with Marvin, with When you were on traffic, no, was it traffic?
Traffic. I killed Jacob in traffic.
Yeah, when you were in traffic, it was Jacob Vargas in traffic. Is it true that when the lead actress was on promoting the movie, she mentioned your name?
Yeah, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She did. Yeah,
she gave you a shout out.
She gave me a shout out. That was very nice.
She said it was great. You know, I work with great people, Emilio Rivera.
Yeah, that was really nice.
I was like, what?
And well, because you know, it was because we know
Oprah, I think.
On Oprah, yeah. That's huge, you know. And because we got to talk a little bit, and then her brother at the time, still brother, I guess. You know, we'd go out, you know, because we were filming in Mexico. I mean, Arizona, Texas, the border towns, and me and her brother would go out. So it was kind of cool, you know. And she was a very nice lady at the time. She was pregnant at the time, you know. very, very nice lady. She really was.
That's cool. She gave you a little plug.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. Yeah, that's right. You know.
That was nice.
I remember when that was all going on, when they did the first Christmas party at Paul's Kitchen, and you got there before Emilio, and then Emilio walked in, and then we did the whole little, you know, got on the mic and stuff. I remember Felipe going up there. We're so proud of you, Emilio Rivera, for putting us on the silver screen. Know, yeah. Everybody's like, you know, yeah, because we're all excited. The movie's a big ass hit. It was you, and you fuck, dude. You feel that shit. Thank you. See that shit.
And that's what I like about it, bro. Is like the you know, beauty. The people, the love and the respect, and genuinely proud. Because you got a lot of motherfuckers that are haters too, bro. You got to be Gucci. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of those too. Don't get me wrong.
But those guys went to acting class.
No. But you know what it is I like. I feel it from the heart when you guys do that, and I love that, bro. Really, you know, really cool, man.
And it's, you always kept the flavor for real, because I even listened to homie Joe Diaz's podcast when you mentioned that thing when you're in that movie Mi Familia regarding the Pendletons.
Simone.
When you told Jimmy Smith and yeah. Then the producer came out and they're like, no, he's right, because, you know, he's from L.A. You know, you never did anything like how it's not supposed to be on the street.
I never
keep
will.
Keep it OG.
I never will. You know, like a lot of my fans, you know, are in the prison system, you know, and so I get a lot of letters and saying, you know what, hey, man, thank you for keeping it real, you know, keeping us right, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you see how it was before we really got in the game, bro.
Yeah.
You just had these fucking actors trying to do these fucked up actions, and really, if you had those actions, bro, you get slapped in the neighborhood. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, hell yeah.
You better try to get that shit right, you know? And, no, I'm for reals, bro, you know, even when I'm working and I see people trying to do something that we don't do, I'll say, bro, don't do that. I'll just straight up say, I'll take him to the side. I won't do it in front of, I won't embarrass nobody. But I would take you out to the side. I said, look, bro, that's a little bit too big. Don't do that. Real nice. And then I'll walk away. And then I'll still keep an eye on him, you know what I'm saying? And be sure he doesn't do it. Because I don't want to look stupid. I really don't want to make my, you know, it's bad enough that people try, you know, you can say, oh, the cholo's this and that, or, you know.
Right.
But you know what? No, we have, it's a way of life, bro. You know what I'm saying? You have to respect that. And I lived this for so long, I'm not going to go and disrespect, you know. You know, people say, why are you paying this? I go, listen, motherfucker.
It's culture.
And, you know, people, this is what I hate. A job is a job.
A job.
You know what I'm saying? People say, how could you pay? Don't pay a cook. Don't pay a waiter. I've been a cook. I've been a gardener. I've been a gangman. I'm a low rider. I still got a low rider, homie. How can I not play it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, check it out, bro. I used to cut lawns for fucking $60 a day. Now I get $10,000 a day. I don't even sweat. They put sweat on me, bro. Avion water on me, homie. Come on, homie.
Hell yeah.
Fuck you.
How you like me now?
Fuck you.
So we're adrift for Target, people.
You know what I'm saying, loco?
It's not even a national commercial. It's only on YouTube.
That's funny.
It's an industry commercial, goddamn
it. It's on Instagram.
It's a battery.
That's funny. Yeah, man. I like some people say, I can't play no cholo, man. Come on, bro.
You gotta do it right, though.
If you don't pay it, if you're Mexican, you don't play the fucking cholo, they're gonna ask that fucking actor from Spain to play it, motherfucker.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, it's just like, you know, it's a trip, bro. It's a cash way to do. Okay, now, they're doing this big old thing about a Colombian drug lord. I think, I don't want to mess it up too much, but anyway, Catherine Zeta-Jones got cast for this Latina fucking big time drug lord, right?
Oh, yeah, I saw that movie.
Okay, no, it hasn't come out yet. They're casting it right now, right? So check this out.
Lying over here.
No, it's all over the news, though. So all of a sudden, all the Latinos, check this out. This is fucking true. That's what I have to say, because it's fucking bullshit. You know, all the Latinos are going, they're in an uproar. Oh, why are they hiring a non-Latino to play our role? So check it out. But if you would have hired a Latino, you'd be complaining, why are we paying stereotypical roles? Fuck you. Come on. There get the go. Job. You know,
they're never happy.
That's what I'm saying, bro. And you just got, you know, do the work, be happy, and that's a tool. I mean, Catherine Zeta-Jones, people are probably saying, congratulations, which is, of course, congratulate her. But if we got it, they'll be saying, oh, you know, he's paying a stereotypical.
You think he's all bad, eh?
Oh, I've heard it before. He's playing the cholo, bro.
Yeah, you know, I've heard,
doing beaner jokes, bro.
I've heard all my fucking life, bro. Yeah. You know, talking about, you know what? But you know what? I raised one family. I'm raising another family. It's been very good to me, brother. Now nobody
two gets, families,
and nobody gets hurt. You dig what I'm saying, loco? You know what I'm saying? I'm putting it down the way it's supposed to be put down. With respect, you know. And with the characters, I always find I'm not just an asshole. I always trying to find with my characters. I find a little. You kind of feel for the guy too.
Yeah, he kills and rape people, but he likes birds.
And he plants flowers.
No, that's the movie is. Like, they could show this guy killing thousands of people during the day, but Hollywood knows how to make him look nice too.
You have to. And
you know what? He clips roses for his every day he visits his grandmother.
And when I used to live at home, I used to change my flowers every three months, bro. I used to love to plant fucking flowers, and I was a bad guy, you know. But I would plant fucking flowers. I love that shit. It's good for the mind, home, good for the soul, you know.
How do you feel about people like who say, "I want to? Should I take acting classes, Emilio? What should I do?"
I would, you know, I do, because if everybody thinks you can do it, well, you know what? First, see if you can do the work. Where, you know, go to community college, bro, and where it's cheap. because when you go to acting schools in Hollywood, it's really fucking expensive, you know?
Tell me about it.
You know what I'm saying? So try to come to college, see if you can actually do the work, because it is work. You dig what I'm saying? Go and learn a fucking monologue. You know, learn all this shit. Be prepared, because a lot of times you only get one chance, bro. And if you're not ready, they won't call you back no more, bro. You know, even now to this day, they'll say, my agent will say, Mito, they want to come and see you. We read for them. I said, no, I won't. And my agent knows that I will not go on a, like, because I will fuck the memory, bro. I had to fucking study, right? So I will not go. Because what happens, I don't want to go in there and read for them, and they'll say, wow, that guy sucked. And then I'll never get called again. So be prepared, bro. You got to be prepared. That's the main thing, bro, you know?
How about once taking acting classes over and over and over?
No.
It gets too expensive after a while,
no,
huh?
The thing is, you either have it or you don't, or not.
Yeah.
It's really simple. You some people, I've seen people, I've been in acting class for 9 years. 9 years? What the fuck?
What for?
You know what I'm saying? You either get it or you don't. It's really, you know. Acting is this, bro. You put a camera there, we're doing a scene. Just be you. You dig what I'm saying? Just talk, you know? Listen. Main thing is listening, bro. Listen and react. That's all. Acting is reacting, bro. You know what I'm saying? Some people just don't fucking get it, bro. They really don't fucking get it. It's a trip.
They overdo it, huh?
That's the thing. They say action. They got to act. No. just fucking.
Brando, I know. Over here.
Action. Get some, homie. Get some.
They also think I get big.
I know. Like your homies in that rape scene. Get some, homie.
Get it. They thought it was real shit going on. It's funny, homie. It's fucking hilarious.
The fool put his pants down.
Relax.
Sorry, bro. I study under the grates. One thing you told me about, I know I asked you for advice a long time ago about acting, and you had told me that, and it worked. You had told me to just write, get all your lines that are just for you, and write them all like one big paragraph.
Well, yeah,
and read it over and over.
Because, yeah, sometimes when you write your own dialogue, you'll be able to, if you're writing it, you know what you got to say. You dig what I'm saying? It was just an exercise for me. Especially I mainly do when I do big monologues. That's what I do for myself. You know, what I do now is I just tape myself and I'll be driving and I listen to my shit all day. Look, I have a bad memory, bro. I did a lot of drugs, bro. You know me wrong. I mean, PCP ain't good for the fucking mind, you know? And I did it for a long time and I did acid and all that shit. So I have half a mind, really. Like, I see actors that can read shit and then, like, an hour later they know everything. I get mad at them, you know? Me, until they say action, I'm still reading that fucking paper, bro. I'm there.
Me too, man.
And poem, I put in this action. You got like a few seconds for this action. You got speed. I put it in my pocket, and here I go, you know?
Yeah, when I'm acting too, man, I just go like this. Like, even when they say scene or whatever, they say, okay, they're going to start shooting.
Speed.
And I'm right there taking my line one more time. Okay, right here.
That's speaker, man.
I take my lines right here out of my wrist, and then go like
this.
Wow. I'm cheating, bro. I used to cheat in high school. And I'll be like this, all right. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, because not only do I want all my lines, I create my own pauses. I fuck with it. You know, I fuck with the lines all the time, you know? And that's another job right there in itself, bro, you know?
Yeah. So, man, what's up, fool, Brad? It's for you all excited, eh?
Chilling, dog.
Tell us, bro. Tell us.
Living legend right here, dog.
Give me some Emilio Rivera, bro.
What do you want, Holmes?
So what's up, Emilio, man? We appreciate you for being here, bro.
Oh, hell yeah,
bro.
Man.
I'm glad you invited me. And I've been wanting to do the show with you, bro. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. I still am, bro. And I remember when you had the last comic standing, I would watch you every week and support you and shit. And even fucking voted. You know how you voted and shit, right? And yeah, homie, I got the homie won, right? But the thing is, my old lady go, man, that guy's fucking funny. And I said, no, we got to go see him live because, you know, on TV, I know him off when he's on stage and as TV is good. But, man, when he's on stage, it's so much fucking more funnier. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and I know you go here in February, so don't forgive me, fucker, because I want to go see you.
Yeah, Flappers in February, people.
Yeah.
It'll be Valentine's Day. And we have listeners, bro. We have listeners all over the world now.
Japan.
One of our biggest listeners, they're from Virginia, Ashburn. And Ashburn, Virginia, we have like 528 listeners there.
Nice.
And we have a guy who listens to our show in Japan. He teaches English, and he translates our show from English to Japanese.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's crazy,
that's
huh?
That's pretty cool,
crazy
man. Yeah,
he's married
cool.
To... What's up, Frank, fool?
What's up, Frank?
Shout out, fool.
Brother? Get on, Frank. Get on, bro.
We got Rodrigo Torres right here.
What's happening, fool?
Yeah. All right, people. December 19th, I'm going to be in Honolulu at the Hawaiian Bryans. December 26th to the 31st, I'll be in Reno, Nevada at Pioneer Underground. January, I'll be in San Diego, Americans Comedy Club, with Rodrigo Torres, our guest Marcela Arguello, and Flaco, people. Okay, now fuck it. We're going to scratch that out. They ain't booked. I'm gonna be in San Diego, California, with Richard Pryor, and January I'll be in El Paso, Texas. People, yeah, man. Hopefully they get a green room, Gritty. And Tampa, Florida, I'm coming back on you. I'm coming back to Ybor City. In Tampa, Florida. Ontario, California. I'm back at the Improv in January at the Ontario Improv. See you guys there, people. Anything else you want to say, man?
Hey, you know what? Hey, man, you know what? I want to thank you all for all the support you've given me over the years, man. Now, that's beautiful. Much love right back at you, and happy holidays to you and the familia, man.
Oh, thank you, bro. You, Rodrigo? What's up, fool?
Chilling, man. Long Beach Laugh Factory, December 21st. Oh, is it the Sunset Room Monday nights in Hacienda?
Yeah, man. I think I saw Gracie. She posted out. I saw Gracie Armijo had a spot at the Laugh Factory because of this show.
Moving on up, dog.
So what's up, too? Shout out to Joe Diaz from the Boyle Heights Technology Youth Center. My friend Joey Diaz here, who grew up with me right here in this neighborhood.
Joey Coco Diaz?
No, that's another Joey Diaz. That's Joey Coco Diaz, not that Joey Coco Diaz.
I love Joey
Coco. Here's some Joey Coco, bro.
Joey Diaz live right here from Boyle Heights. You know what I'm saying? Cop suckers. With Emilio Rivera. Don't forget about us.
He's the real deal, cocksuckers.
Right.
That's great, bro.
Los Angeles flavor from Dodger Stadium and all throughout the county.
What's up, fool? Thank you guys very much, man. Have a good one, Lee.
That's funny. Yeah. Hey, can you do me a favor while we're still... can you get three of us a picture so I can put my Instagram and stuff? I appreciate it.